text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, lots of you will be familiar with the Asia Market, which has its flagship store on Drury Street in Dublin city centre. Eva Powell, who runs the business, is with me in studio. Good afternoon, Eva. And Eva has a new TV programme. Very exciting.
It is very exciting.
We had you in a good few years ago now.
Yeah, it was about food and Chinese New Year and things like that, wasn't it?
Yes. And it must have been pre-COVID. Joe was talking about COVID because it was in the other studio.
It was, yeah.
Yes, Studio 10.
I think I remember one time I brought you some food and it was like the 10 things you should eat before you die. And you quite bravely tried a lot of it.
So is this a dream come true?
It really is a dream come true. I mean, I've been cooking since I was young and I've always been around food. I've grown up around food. So having, you know, this show is just a way to showcase more of, you know, meals that I cook at home and then kind of showcasing the different ingredients. And it really is a dream come true.
And you say at the outset, just in case there's any misunderstanding, that you're not a qualified chef.
No. Which is why the thing is, you know, anything that I create at home, it's very simple, it's authentic. I'm only using a few ingredients and you have a very tasty meal. So it's kind of adding a few, you know, pantry ingredients into your Asian kind of repertoire.
And you can create Before we talk about the show, remind us about your story and your family story. So you're here since you were 1 month old.
Yes. So I grew up in Dublin. Yeah. And so my parents moved here like 40 something years ago now. And they initially, they identified like a gap in the market because my uncle had, my dad has two younger brothers and they had a Chinese takeaway. And so they would have to go every week to the UK to get ingredients. So then they decided, well, you know, why don't they, there's definitely a requirement need for it in Ireland. So they set up the Asia Market to supply mainly to the restaurants and takeaways all over Ireland. So my dad drove everywhere. He knows everywhere in Ireland. He was driving everywhere delivering.
So he was supplying all the Chinese restaurants in Ireland?
He was. And we've always been doing that. And it's always been a very big part of the business.
Yeah.
And then we just had a small retail store. And initially, it was really to supply the local Chinese community. But as it's grown and people's interest in Asian food has grown, so has the market. And so we moved to a bigger location on Drury Street. And then we opened up another one in Ballymount as well.
Which is the hub of the whole thing.
Yeah, Dublin 12, yeah.
So that's wholesale and retail.
Yeah, it's like, so like, you know, free parking over there. And then I think a lot of people think, oh, okay, it's in an industrial site. Like, is it for open to public? No, it's completely open to public. And we have a very big, it's bigger than the store in Drury Street.
And is there a restaurant in there as well?
There's we have like outside, Ro does his magic Korean chicken. And so it's kind of, we've built it like a container kind of for him to showcase some Asian cooking.
Right. So this is all you know, really.
Yes, Asian food really is all I know. And you see, mum and dad have always been cooking and I've always been around them, you know, helping in the kitchen. So, and I've always been tasting things and we'd be travelling and I'd be tasting everything.
And your grandparents, where did they live?
In Hong Kong.
Right. Yeah. And were you regularly over with them?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I'd go over most summers. And I remember when I was quite young, I actually flew over with my two cousins. And at that time you could, I think I flew over with British Airways and then that you didn't have to have your parents, like you could just, they'd drop you off and then you'd fly over to Hong Kong. I remember arriving in Hong Kong and then like spending a lot of time with my grandparents and aunties and uncles. And yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah. Did you always think that you would be in the family business or did you try something else first?
No. So after I graduated, I moved to Hong Kong. And I worked in private banking. So I did that for many years. I did that for 8 years almost. And then it was only on a trip that my parents would come over quite regularly. And then they invited me on this trip to Malaysia and was to meet suppliers. And then it just reignited my interest. After that trip, it reignited my interest in food. And then I decided to move back and see about like working in the family business. And when I actually started to work, I was like, oh my God, I know a lot about this. I didn't know that I knew. And then I was like thinking, did my parents like slightly start grooming me for this when I was at a young age and didn't even know? So, yeah.
And of course, our relationship, Ireland as a nation, relationship with Asian food has like changed since your parents arrived here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I mean, from Chinese food, I mean, I would say like in every town, you know, there was like a Chinese takeaway. And then that Chinese food started to become a broader, like there was like Thai food and then there was like a Japanese wave. And I think now it's like a Korean wave. Mm. So like all Korean food is really in.
I'm reading a Korean author at the moment. I think I'm on her fourth book.
Wow.
So I was introduced to Juk. Is it pronounced Juk?
Juk, yeah.
J-U-K.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Justin, I haven't eaten it yet. But so it's a savoury porridge.
Yes. I mean, this is one of, it's all, like in Chinese culture, we have it called congee, actually. So rice porridge. I really love this. I mean, it's like, you'd have for breakfast like oats and porridge and stuff like that. But this is made from rice. And we have it for breakfast, you can have it for lunch, dinner, and you have it with like a deep fried dough stick. But quite typically, you'd have like, it's savoury. So you have like, we mix in some like some pork mince or some chicken or fish, you know. And I think it's very healthy.
It's very moist. It's wet.
Wet. It's like a thick soup, like a thick risotto. You know?
Right.
It's quite soupy.
Right. But rice.
Yes, so basically you take rice and you put a lot of water in, like maybe 10 times the amount of water to a cup of rice.
Yeah.
And you boil that up for about 40 minutes. But you see, a lot of times when at home, you feel a bit poorly, you'd actually make some congee as well because it's so easy.
So juk and congee are the same thing.
Yeah. And you can kind of have that because it's so easy to eat. But then to make it even more healthy, you can use like a pork bone. So like you could have like put pork bones into it to make it.
Create a stock. Well. Yes,
or even chicken. You know.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
But I think it's a great dish to have, like in your. It sounds
a little bit too gloopy for me, and I'm a big fan of porridge. I don't know.
You have to delve into it. If you're a fan of porridge, then the savoury part of this will
mess with your head.
Take a few bites.
We're creatures of habit, aren't we? You know when you
when you
bite into something, you're expecting one thing, and something else happens.
But then, the porridge is. Do you put salt in that, or
there's a famous. I don't know if you did it at school, but there's a Letta Donica Peg. There's a famous Irish story.
Okay.
That I studied when I was at secondary school, and it's a story about putting the pot of porridge on overnight. And everybody thought that it wasn't salty enough because somebody said it wasn't salty. So they all add a little bit of salt.
Right,
and by the end of it, it's completely inedible. You know, so that's that.
Savory rice porridge,
Anyway, that's a joke. I must try and make it. So you then came back to the family business. You've expanded. And all the time, you were fans of other people's cookbooks.
Absolutely.
There's a shot at the beginning. I don't know if they're all yours.
They're all mine. Yes.
There's a shot at the beginning of the program. I watched the first episode, which is great, of you with this like, it's nearly as tall as you.
Yes, the whole
height of books.
I collect a lot of cookbooks, and you know, I think it came from my father. My father used to have a lot of cookbooks in the house. Like he'd always bring back some cookbooks, and so I was just reading them at home. And then, so I've always enjoyed reading cookbooks, and instead of even books, you know. And so through the years, I've just literally collected. Like everywhere I travel, I'm literally in the bookshop buying cookbooks, and I love that because like I love reading about the local kind of cuisine and what ingredients they use and then how to maybe adapt it to maybe like Irish taste, you know, or family, for your family.
And there's the thing, I suppose all of us would love to create our favourite Chinese takeaway at home. Mm-hmm. I think that's an aspiration that a lot of people have.
Yes.
And you're here to save the day.
Absolutely. I'm here. So one of the episodes later on in the series is actually all dedicated to Chinese takeaway classics.
Right.
And the idea there is just to
So you do
give
sweet and sour.
You see, there's a sweet and sour, yes. the sweet and sour I'm creating, like, one is like sweet and sour fish.
Yes.
And then there's a black bean beef. There is a satay chicken.
Yeah, a straightforward and curry. Yeah,
yes, the curry. I mean, like, who doesn't love a curry and a Chinese curry? But you see, I think it's kind of the idea maybe people have in their minds of a takeaway. Okay, it's maybe unhealthy. But the thing is, you can create a healthy version at home. And the thing is, I really love cooking at home. And it's because you can alter the taste to what you want. So, you know, it's like, you can go, well, I don't want it to be that salty. I'm just going to add in maybe half the quantity. And you can adjust it to your taste, which is what I love, you know. Mm. And it makes it healthier at home. And you know what's going into it as well.
Now in the first one, you do fried rice, prawn fried rice, and then you do a sort of a sushi type thing, and then you do a dessert with rice.
Yes.
The sushi thing, you were at pains to point out, and you did it a couple of times, no raw fish. There's no raw fish. It was like a health warning.
I know what you mean.
Do you think people are...
Maybe people... I was just kind of giving them a warning. It's like, you know, give it a go. Give it a go. You know, it's not too... It's nowhere near the... Because, like, I think people's idea of sushi... Like, we have moved on quite a lot. Like, I mean, I remember when I was in college here and, you know, there was only one sushi restaurant. I mean, look at sushi's in, like, all the bigger supermarkets, you know. And so the message is, you know, this is, you can attempt this. It's, you know, you don't, sushi is not linked with raw fish. You don't have to put any raw fish into it. But you can still enjoy the rice, the seaweed, you know, and, you know.
And it's a specific type of rice.
It is a sushi rice. Yes. So, you know, we have a lot of people come into our store and, you know, they and I chat to them and they're all wondering about the sushi. But then, you know, and when I find out, oh, how did you make it? Why wasn't it successful? And then I realize they're just using the normal rice that they have at home. And I was like, oh my goodness, you have to use a specific sushi rice that's quite sticky. That's why they hold their shape.
And then you put sort of wine.
So you season it with some rice vinegar.
And some sugar.
So that's, it just gives it a little bit of taste. Mm. And I think by a lot of people maybe don't know, okay, it's seasoned, you know, because it is probably quite rare to be seasoning your rice. But the thing is, you know, when you put into this seaweed wrapper, it tastes amazing, you know. So it's kind of...
It is a feat of engineering as well, though.
You see, only a feat of engineering if you're using like a mat, you know. I can see, like, you know, if you had to invest more into it and you had to buy a mat and you had to buy, you know, more utensils, then you're kind of like, well, I don't know about this. And then you're kind of like cutting it and like, okay, this is going a bit messy.
Yes.
But if you're just, I'm like saying, you don't need a mat, you're just like kind of cutting out little squares of your seaweed. Honestly, you can just roll it any way you want. You know, it doesn't even have to be a cone shape, you know, as long as you can, it fits in your mouth, you know, you can take a bite, you know, and you get that flavor. It's just like a quick, I mean, I use that recipe at home. So when I have a
sushi, I have a boy and a girl.
Yeah. And, you know, when we actually have fun at home, you know, making it together. Mm. So I put the pot of rice in the middle and then I put all the fillings and then they roll their own one. So it's a bit of fun as well. You can have
just,
you know,
like a fajita sort of thing. Making
exactly.
Yes,
as long as you can roll it up and then you see, I think it's just really nice and it's not as hard and difficult. You can still have those ingredients and, you know, have a really nice meal.
So no raw fish.
That's a key message, right?
So there's six episodes.
There is six episodes,
And you enjoyed making it.
It was so much fun. I mean, the team at Appetite are amazing and I really enjoyed making the show with them. And it's just great support. They're a really, really fun team. Love them.
What you mentioned earlier on about, you sort of alluded to the Irish palate. What's your opinion on that?
You know, I think it's become a lot more adventurous. You know, from looking at, you know, the store and what we're stocking, there, you know, people are coming in to buy, you know, Korean red pepper paste, and, you know, they're actually quite advanced, like, you know, and their palate has changed, and they're trying. You can see it from the restaurants as well. There's a lot more Korean restaurants opening up and
What distinguishes Korean, say, from Japanese and Chinese?
So Korean food, they would have. You know, they use like a different, the gochujang, Korean pepper paste, you know, and they have the kimchi. So they typically, you know, they would have kimchi with every single meal. So they have
kimchi is,
it's like a preserved kind of a cabbage with like some
sort of pickled cabbage.
Yes, yeah. With some spice, like some Korean red pepper spices into it. And it's something just they always have with the meal. You typically have something different in Japanese food. So you'd have like a Japanese kind of daikon, which is like a, it's kind of yellow in color. It's like a pickled white radish.
Okay.
And so you kind of have differences, but then, oh, they all have a little bit of pickle next to them, you know, the meal.
Rice,
and then noodles. But they're just little differences. So like in Korean cooking, they love like a thing called tteokbokki. Tteokbokki, it's like this rice cake, Korean rice cake. And they come in like tubular form, like round shape, long shape, and then they come in a flat format as well. And that's typically like quite chewy, and you know, they add into rice soups,
I remember from growing up that and this is a gross generalization, okay, but you might run with it for me, that desserts,
yes,
in Chinese restaurants were never great.
In Ireland, okay, yeah, I might agree with you on that one. Like, it's not authentic, put it that way.
It's not authentic,
but I mean, I grew up with going to the Chinese restaurants and having that type of dessert where it's like that ice cream dessert.
Yes.
Did you have that menu and you go, okay, well, there's a lemon sherbet or an orange one?
And then there's something with a banana.
Yeah, is there?
Yeah, there was something with a banana, wasn't there? A cooked banana, a banana boat or something like that.
Our lychee and ice
lychee,
cream.
Lychee, yeah. I never liked the lychee.
Banana fritters?
Yes, banana fritters.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's authentic. That's authentic.
Is that authentic, that's right? Authentic. And lychee is, that's authentic.
No, not really. You wouldn't really find
so
that
you
over.
You make this rice thing.
So this, the dessert for the Thai mango is, it's actually a Thai dessert. Okay. So it's like using kind of glutinous sticky rice, and then you're mixing a little bit of like a coconut milk into it, and then sweetening it as well. And then you're just serving it with some fresh mango. And then there's a little crispy bit on top, which is like some mung bean as well. So you can get lots of different textures to it.
It looks delicious.
You have to make it. It's very simple. Yeah. But yes, yeah. Desserts isn't really our... Yeah.
Not your strong point.
No. I mean, like in the Chinese restaurants here,
yes,
you know, I'd say they could be more authentic.
Okay.
You know?
I used to visit the Asian market weekly as part of my shopping when I worked and lived in Dublin. Now I visit Drury Street every time I'm in town. Amazing resource, and so excited to hear about Eva's new show. Congratulations.
Oh, that's so nice.
Says Orla, isn't that lovely?
Thank you, Orla.
So from the 26th of February, Eva Powell's Asian Kitchen, on the telly box in the corner, and of course it'll be on the RT player as well. Great to see you again, Eva, and good luck with the good
thank
luck with
you Ray
show. Oh, you brought some food.
I did. I was just thinking this is one of the dishes on the show, and it's like an Asian cucumber salad.
Okay,
so there's a little bit of that's the black vinegar, the Chinese black vinegar. So that is one of the episodes that we have showcasing vinegar. It's like the
you keep talking,
balsamic,
I'll keep eating. Okay.
It's like the absolutely. There's it's like the balsamic vinegar if you've never used it before. But like we use it to, it's very simple to make. You're literally smashing your cucumber, cutting it into bits, mixing a bit of garlic, two tablespoons of the black vinegar, tablespoon of soy, and a bit of sugar, and that's it.
So that black vinegar is an important flavor.
Yes, I really like that one. You see, I think it's a great thing to add into your pantry. And so it's like, it's kind of introducing just, you know, one key ingredient, but you can make so many things from it.
Because I recognise it from restaurants, but I've never been able to recreate it at home. So that's
the thing is that, you know, in some of the Chinese restaurants, you dip your dumplings into
that's it.
Yeah.
And there's coriander in there as well and chili. Is there coriander?
Yes, there is.
That's delicious. That is delicious. Thank you so much for bringing
that
in.
You're so welcome.
Eva Powell, thank you very much.
Thank
Good luck
Ray.
With the TV show. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.